Water is at the center of a case before the Supreme Court between Florida and Georgia. Attorneys for both states gave oral arguments there today. It's not the first time the states have argued over water, and the outcome of the case will affect communities and economies in both states. We have two reports now on what's at stake, starting with Molly Samuel of WABE in Georgia.
The Flint River starts from springs near the Atlanta airport. It grows as it flows south from there and eventually rushes right along Casey Cox's farm in Camilla in southwest Georgia.
We have a really high, muddy winter river right now that we're standing beside.
Cox's family grows sweet corn, peanuts, and timber here. She's a sixth-generation farmer, now taking over operations from her dad. She says this river is special to her. She grew up on it, and her love for the Flint is part of what brought her back to her family's farm after college.
In the summer, it's really low and clear and beautiful, and there's a big sandbar right there, which I love.
Cox is 29 years old, which means that for pretty much as long as she's been alive, Florida and Georgia have been fighting over the water in this river. The Flint meets another Georgia river, the Chattahoochee, at the Florida border. They combine to form the Apalachicola River, which flows through the Florida Panhandle. Cox says her dad advocated for Georgia farmers around water rights earlier in his career.
He's transitioned that over to me along with the farm, so it's just really unbelievable to think that we're going into the second generation of these water issues.
Florida and Alabama say Georgia uses too much of the water in the rivers that the states share. Now, Florida has taken this fight to the U.S. Supreme Court. Florida says in times of drought, Georgia's water use has affected the environment along the Apalachicola River. The state says that's contributed to the crash of the oyster population and the oyster industry in Apalachicola Bay. So Florida is asking the Supreme Court to put a cap on Georgia's water use during droughts. And it's come to focus on the amount of water used by Georgia farmers in the Flint River Basin. Farmers like Casey Cox.
My entire future is in agriculture and farming alongside this river. So I have to have access to water for irrigation to give me certainty for the future, to have a strong livelihood going forward.
Farmers say limiting their water supply would have ripple effects in the region.
I hate to use the word cataclysmic, but it'll be significant.
Murray Campbell grows cotton and peanuts on the other end of Mitchell County from Cox's farm. He says if he was told, for instance, he had to cut his water use in half, he might just decide to put it all in one crop.
So you cut potential for income in half, you're going to have to cut back on something. You may have to let a man go that's been working for you for 20 or 30 years. You might not can afford that much labor. It'll just roar through the economy.
And not just the local farm economy. Doug Mile is an advisor to the Georgia Chamber of Commerce. He says if Florida wins the case, the economic impact would go beyond rural communities because agriculture is the biggest industry in the state.
There is no question it would flow across the entire community and the entire state. You know, people would be displaced.
Georgia argues that any potential solution for Florida wouldn't be worth the economic harm to Georgia. It also says Florida itself is partially to blame for allowing over-harvesting of the oysters after the BP oil spill. Georgia says the fix Florida's asking for wouldn't actually solve the oyster industry's problems. Two independent experts hired by the court to make recommendations have sided with Georgia. For her part, Casey Cox says she understands what people in Apalachicola are going through. She says the oystermen there and farmers here in Georgia face shared challenges.
All impacted by drought. We all depend on these natural resources for our livelihoods.
Cox says she hopes the states can stop suing each other and instead find a way to work together to find solutions. But once this case is over, there's another one brought by the state of Alabama over the same water. For Here and Now, I'm Molly Samuel in Georgia.
And I'm Rob Diaz de Villegas of WFSU at the Jim Woodruff Dam in Chattahoochee, Florida. It's here, where the Flint and Chattahoochee rivers join to form the Apalachicola, home to a bay that used to be known for its seafood, most notably its oysters. When it rains a lot in South Georgia, water flows freely into Florida. But when there's drought, as there was for 10 consecutive months in 2012, water stays behind the dam. And this is a source of conflict between the states.
We're not asking for a great amount of water more. We're just asking for an equal share of water.
This is oysterman Shannon Hartsfield in 2012, during the drought. The Apalachicola Bay oyster fishery had just crashed. It still hasn't recovered. In a more recent interview, Hartsfield said that he hasn't harvested oysters in nearly a decade.
I actually quit harvesting oysters in probably middle of 2012. Started working on trying to rebuild the bay. I worked and ran quite a few programs of using the oystermen rebuilding the bay.
These efforts haven't worked as hoped. Florida recently put a 5-year ban on oyster harvesting in the bay. Researchers and oystermen are still figuring out how to make oysters viable again. One thing they know they need, adequate freshwater input. That's what Florida is after, as the U.S. Supreme Court hears its case against Georgia. Florida wants to cap water usage by farms along the Flint. It claims those farms are taking more than their fair share of water.
The Flint River is an area where there's a lot of agriculture.
Georgia Ackerman is executive director at Apalachicola Riverkeeper, whose mission it is to protect the river and bay.
Atlanta is also dependent on Lake Lanier for drinking water in the system. So ultimately, Florida wants a consumptive use cap on Georgia's water usage.
This is the second time the issue has been before the nation's high court. A special master, appointed by the court in 2014, ruled Florida had been harmed as a result of Georgia's water use, but ultimately said the state had no case because part of the blame is with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The Corps manages the dam, but wasn't included in the lawsuit. The second special master's report said the state didn't prove that capping Georgia's water use would lead to an increase in flow to the bay. Ackerman, the riverkeeper, also blames the Army Corps.
More and more water has been held upstream for upstream consumption, and that has negatively impacted, it has hurt the Apalachicola floodplain and bay.
To Ackerman, a better way to resolve the issue would be for the dam's managers to adjust water flow according to historical flood cycles. But even if Florida were to win its lawsuit against Georgia, the ruling would have no impact on the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Its water control manual says if there's drought in Georgia, that state would get water priority.
And so if we go into drought operations like we did in 2011 and 2012, it's probable that we could see even worse results.
While hoping for a Supreme Court win, Ackerman and others are trying another route. Apalachicola Riverkeeper is part of a coalition suing to change the manual with an eye towards getting more water through the dam and into the bay. If neither case pans out, river flows will continue to be managed as they have been for decades. Still, with the bay closed to oyster harvesting to give reefs time to regenerate and more rainfall in the past 2 years, Shannon Hartsfield is optimistic for the return of the Apalachicola oyster.
My dad is about to turn 73 years old. And I'd love to be able to take him back out with me and harvest oysters again with him. So this is the first time in a long time that I actually see a future back in the bay.
The Supreme Court will likely decide Florida versus Georgia in a couple of months. For Here and Now, I'm Rob Diaz de Villegas.